From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're off our bye week. We are back. How you doing, guys and gals? Bleed Blue Show, the podcast, the dugout, baseball, sports is at a halt. At different times for most, if not all, people around the world. And if you've been under a rock, you kind of understand what's going on with the magnitude of society and sports as a whole has come to a complete stop. Almost life in general has come to a complete stop. But sports, the staple of this platform, this is why we do these podcasts, is to talk what we see on the field of play or on the court or on the rink. And right now we have idle time with all sports. Never in my lifetime has ever something like this has happened. Probably something like this has not happened since the Second World War. We're talking mid-40s stuff, probably between, 41 and 45 when, when players were drafted into the Army. But nonetheless, we're talking about stuff about 60, 70 years ago. No sports. So on this platform, we talk baseball. Maybe we'll have a discussion as far as not only our team, around the sport of baseball, a timetable, and then even just see what people have been doing with their time, keeping themselves away from other people as far as the coronavirus plague, or you want to call it, the pandemic. We'll bring them on, the stakeholders, and have some discussion, man. One more thing before I bring the stakeholders on. I saw some pictures. No, I've been under a rock, honestly. I've been, like many of you guys, I've spent a lot of my time not even watching sports or necessarily the news. I've been catching up on a lot of TV shows, a lot of movies. If people want to discuss that, that is fine. But I wanted to say something about Aroldis Chapman, and if the stakeholders could fill me in on what is going on with him. Is he on Balco, man? Is he juicing, man? Because that dude looks ripped. Now, I saw the pictures floating around, and I didn't necessarily dig for it. I just was like, wait, maybe I'll bring it up on the podcast, the dugout. But Suzanne, Bleeding Yankee Blue, writer for the spot, the blog spot, and, of course, at Susie Prof, Susie Prof 1 on Instagram. Suzanne, how you doing? I hope all is well. I hope your family is good, too. How's everything?
Hey, Steve. All is well here in New Jersey.
Yes.
The closest thing that I have to the Yankees right now is probably my Yankee mug. I mean, I drink out of it every day, hoping, praying that things will come back to normal. But wearing Yankee gear and just kind of keeping close to what's happening in the off season and the extended off season at this point. Really helps me feel like kind of close to what's going on in the hopes that we see something uplift us potentially in June is now my projection.
Okay, the projection is now June. Hold that thought. Let's get Jimmy on and we'll have the discussion because last time we had that discussion on the last episode 2 weeks ago, we were guessing on when they're going to start this thing. Jimmy, hello. How you doing at Kings Eagles 1, man? How's everything, man?
Hey, man. I'm doing good, man. As far as the season goes, I'm hoping for June, man. I just want to get baseball back, man. I mean, I've been waiting all year for it, man. But I hope you're doing
all right,
good, man. How was your birthday, man?
Oh, yeah. For obvious reasons, the family, we just couldn't do nothing. For obvious reasons, couldn't go nowhere. Yeah, that being curfew. You can't go, as you already know, Jimmy and Suzanne, you, through these times, you can't go to bars, you can't go to restaurants, everything's takeout. So you really, the original plans got shot down. Like, the original plans, I was supposed to go away for a Knicks game. I was going to go see the Knicks. out of town in New Orleans, but obviously you can't go nowhere. Yeah, everything's shut down there. As a matter of fact, things are just as bad there as it is in New York City or is in Florida and Michigan and California, so in Washington State. So, but the birthday was cool, Jimmy. I appreciate the shout-out on that, man. So, you know, it was funny, Suzanne and Jimmy, because this week, normally we talk baseball. This would have been a post-game episode versus the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. But obviously we don't have a season. So it's kind of like we're going to have to mix this dialogue up with projection on when the season is going to start. I brought up the topic of Aroldis Chapman. If you have an opinion on his physique. Suzanne, what's your thoughts? You say your projection is on June. What's your thoughts as far as Aroldis Chapman and anything you want to reiterate from the your articles, your pieces over the last week? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think about what I said a couple of weeks ago, based on sort of what the projections were, maybe optimistic. One of my pieces this week was about Yankee fans having an amazing sense of imagination, probably because we've been without baseball for so long. We start to speculate about like things that probably aren't true, or they kind of, I don't know, they're not something that you would normally think about. You wouldn't have the time to actually develop those thoughts in any kind of organized way. I wrote a piece about it this week because there was some speculation and some calls into the Michael Kay show that Aaron Judge should play first base while he's healing from these multiple injuries that he's had to his lung that we recently figured out after some x-rays and some further investigation. We know about the rib being fractured. Oh, so, you know, maybe part of his rehab would keep his bat in the lineup and play first base. And, you know, Aaron Boone's like, no way. That's not even a part of, like, what we're thinking about as far as the protocol. But, like, Yankee fans will kind of speculate. Now, you bring up Chapman, and, I mean, the guy looks huge. And I'm not – that's not imagination unless he's using some terrific, image enhancers, if you will, at this point. Then my God, he looks huge. And you know, this is a guy that can throw 105 miles an hour. And he potentially, maybe he's bored, but he did some serious powerlifting. But well, we saw that with Ohtani too. I had a piece about Ohtani recently when I had written about Luis Severino, and Ohtani did a lot of swimming and cross training over the winter kind of break and fall winter interlude, and he looks fantastic too. So I mean, there's a lot to be said about hardcore just working out and commitment to fitness. Now, of course, we all speculate, again, imagination or just based on past practice, that the guy could be juicing. I don't know. I don't want to believe that, honestly, Steve. God, with everything that's happened with Houston, with what we've been through with A-Rod, I would really seriously hope that that's not the case. But the guy is a heck of a lot bigger. And again, unless he's using Photoshop, he's looking mighty big.
Let's hope that is Photoshop, or if my hope. Here's the thing: the initial reaction. This is fan 100% fan reaction from me. I'm not here to be this, this gym bodybuilder expert. Then we'll go to Jimmy. Get your response, Susan, and then go to Jimmy. But the first thing came to mind. Whatever he's doing, it has no illegal substances. I mean, that is the first thing that comes to mind. So, yeah, I am a little worried. I don't know what he's doing or even if he's putting anything into his body, allegedly, whether he is or isn't. But it's just the, if that's his, workout and this is his, what he's earned as far as, working out, God bless him. However, as the back of my mind, Suzanne, I got to be 100. And it's not really necessarily on him directly, just the team and state of baseball. It was sometimes when baseball players are out there like that, they usually get caught up with the suspensions, the legal substances, and I hope we don't go down that road, especially with that guy. Did you have that kind of knee jerk reaction like I did, or you kind of like, oh, you know, he looks pretty good? Like mine was more of the former. What was your thoughts, and then we'll go to Jimmy.
Oh, your knee jerk reaction was that it was more he's juicing.
I hope he's not going to get caught with a banned substance.
Okay. Yeah, my first reaction was much like Otani's, thinking that, oh, all right, so he used the off season and this hiatus to beef up his areas of weakness, and you know, to avoid injury and to come back stronger and have more of a presence on the field. That was my initial reaction. And then, of course, as I explained earlier, your imagination wanders and you start to think about it, and you look at the Houston Astros and you think about A-Rod, and you think about other guys that have allegedly or proven to have used substances that are banned by baseball, and you worry that, oh my God, could this possibly be? I mean, we know that the gyms are closed right now and it's hard to find motivation, and you don't want to sit there and binge watch and snack. And I mean, my grocery bills have never been so high, you know? And you want to believe, I mean, personally, I'm a runner. I am running 25 to 30 miles a week, which is more than I would normally be running at this point or have the time to. I mean, I was training for a half marathon that was supposed to be on April 4th, so this upcoming weekend. And so I my mileage would have been, you know, decent, but I mean, I'm getting to do a lot more, running I feel like I'm more fit from the perspective of I have more time to kind of put into it. So that's my hope, is that it's more time that he has, and that the guy is really hoping not to be injured for a period of time and be able to kind of go out there and throw some heat.
Oh, one more point before we go to Jay. I'm sorry, Jimmy. Suzanne, what is this notion about Aaron Judge, first base? Like, who? I guess the idle time is kicking in. There's no word. We're not doing that for obvious reasons. The number one reason, it's not even about his injury, honestly. It's more about when he is remotely healthy, and we know you're at Yankee Stadium, you do not give up that weapon in right field. You do not. You can put him on the field. You don't put him at first base. You put him in right field. So when guys hit potential doubles down the right field line, he's there to scoop it up and limit it to long singles. That's the main reason why he stays in right field. I can't even believe it. I can believe it because, like you said, Suzanne, it's the world of sports, and it's shut down. People have a lot of time to just speculate. That's what it is.
Right. No, I mean, you know, when it came up, and it was Aaron Boone's on the call, and a lot of callers had been coming in, flooding the, you know, the phone lines with, hey, had you considered, you know, because the Yankee fan from Queens, the Yankee fan from Staten Island, the Yankee fan from Brooklyn, they're sitting around and they think they can manage clearly better than any manager there. I do too. I get it. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have made that decision. Easy for us to sit, you know, to kind of see. But we put it out there, and Boone, you know, basically said he's had a number of unfortunate injuries in the last couple of years, but moving him, absolutely not. Judge, who ranks near the top of defensive right fielders in the game, he is an elite defender and one of the game's greatest players. Never a discussion to move him. So although I think for fans, and I said this, the heart is in the right place. There is nothing but goodwill around trying to keep Aaron Judge in the lineup, right? But you're right. Out of your mind if you think you're going to take him out of right field where he can be lethal with that arm. I just think Aaron Judge, and I've said this, I think I said this the last time we got a chance to hang out together. It, you know, the thing about Aaron Judge is he doesn't know his body yet. He's still getting to know his body and the mechanics of what works and what he needs to do to be healthy. And honestly, I would have been happier if I had seen Judge bulking up a little bit more in hopes of protecting his weaker areas, which apparently are in the midsection, his oblique, his chest muscles. They seem to be the ones, his shoulder, those seem to be his areas of concern. And whatever he can do to remediate that and get ahead of those kinds of injuries, I want to see him do. But, I mean, I'd rather him DH than, I mean, first base is such an underrated position. People think you could just play first base. We're going to put Andujar at first base. No, I mean, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. Mark Teixeira played a terrific first base. Freaking Albert Pujols still plays amazing first base. Not everybody can play first base, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of agility to be able to play that position. Not to mention, you've got to have terrific reflexes. And I'm not saying that Aaron Judge does it. I'm not saying Andujar does it. But, I mean, it takes a lot of time, and it's a craft to play first base. And why would you put him in there in hopes that he would do better there? No, I think he had more of a potential of getting injured because he's not used to playing that position.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Jimmy, sorry about that. What's going on, man? Your thoughts, have you seen the pictures of Aroldis Chapman? And your thoughts on Aaron Judge at first base, and anything else you want to bring up with the Yankees, the season 11?
Man, you know, as far as the Chapman thing, man, I'm just hoping he's working out, like, because like everybody, we have time like we've never had before in history, so you know, whatever, I'm hoping that whatever he's doing works out good for him, the second. The second thing is, you know, Aaron Judge at first base, man, he's a good player and all, but I don't see it working. Like it just doesn't work. You don't play that position. We don't want that guy hurt. You know, after like the season that he had last year. No, we don't want that, man. So you know, that's my thoughts with that. And as far as everything else goes, I mean, I'm just waiting for baseball to come back so I could see I could see Gerrit Cole on the mound, man. I'm so excited.
Say that again. You were going in and out. Say that last part.
I said about Gerrit Cole, man. I can't wait for baseball to come back so I could see him. I could see him on the mound, man.
I see. Gotcha. Yeah. Right. With the closer, I'm just hoping nothing. This is any player on our team. With this period, I hope nothing comes back where they're on idle time. We're practicing the social distancing across the board, regardless of industry, profession. I don't know, and I think Suzanne, we discussed this 2 weeks ago. I don't know, like, what are the players, if they got their trainers, if they're going to practice social distancing with their trainers, and then as far as what's their routine. See, I don't know those particulars, and this is the beauty of social media. If some of these players usually use that medium to broadcast exactly what they're doing as far as workout regimes, we've seen that across the board in all sports. So I personally have not followed, to that level of detail with Instagram on what kind of, workout routines these players are doing to keep in shape and keep active. Because this not only affects the Yankees, this affects all teams across the board. And last time we spoke, Suzanne, I said this helps everybody as far as getting bodies back, people getting healthy. You know, if they were injured, they were about to be injured going into the start of the season in late March, they'll probably have a lot of time to recover and maybe make the delayed opening day start. Last time we also spoke, Suzanne, and we talked heavy as far as if or when this is reduced with the number of games. Now, if they're saying June or if you're saying June, that's kind of what we were saying last time. We were saying you're either in and around the All-Star break for second week of July, or maybe it's slightly before, but reduced games. Somebody, I think I was talking to one of my relatives about this too, Suzanne. Doubleheaders, I definitely could see. And a matter of fact, I love the doubleheaders, and you say you love the doubleheaders, Suzanne. But the is there a possibility of adding number of people on the roster? What do you think about that as far as if you're going to go to doubleheader route, they might try or attempt to do multiple doubleheaders in a week to, you know, compound the number of games so they can play as many games as possible to 162. What is your thoughts on that, Suzanne, if you have any? And anything else you think could happen with bringing back the season?
We had a piece on that, exactly what you're talking about, this past week. And, you know, there's a lot of take on this. The doubleheader is a definite. That's the only way they want to get as close to 162 games that they can, right? But the other thing is, you know, time is gonna, you know, kind of run away with it. I mean, and, you know, eventually, you know, there's just, we're gonna get into deep into November, and then, you know, how are we gonna play in that? So they're going to try to get as close to as 162 games as possible. USA Today had a piece on this earlier this week, which we kind of quoted in some of our work this week. But some of the biggest areas that had been discussed is that, that full service would be awarded to players even if they play a shorter season, as long as it still concludes with a World Series championship. So, you know, those players would be part of, obviously, a World Series, and they would get paid for that full service. Now, there's a lot about, you know, well, how far would it go into November? The World Series potentially could move to a neutral site if you needed to, where it would be warmer, so that you could go deeper into November. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of discussion about, you know, those doubleheaders, squeezing in extra games. I mean, the players' union will have to kind of be involved with, you know, what that's going to look like. And to your point, Steve, do we extend the roster to be able to support the extra games and potential injuries? I mean, let's face it. We're looking at guys like Giancarlo Stanton, hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Gary Sanchez, all the time. Aaron Judge, hurt, right? I mean, I could go down the line who's been injured over and over and over again, of Chapman being a guy that goes on the DL as well, or IL now. So, I mean, obviously – we can't get started until the coronavirus starts to subside. And you know, the discussion around coronavirus is, obviously, we want to contain it. We want to distance, have social distance, to stay inside and not be all together in a place. Does baseball start up with games to empty stadiums? I really hope not. I mean, that's just a nightmare for the economy. Not let alone to, season ticket holders and everybody else. I mean, of course, life comes before baseball. I mean, clearly. But, you know, you also run that risk. Then the whole idea that it could come back in the fall. So then what? What are we trying to get it in between two bookends that this thing could come back? I mean, hopefully when it does come back, if it does come back, there's a vaccine and we can do other things to protect ourselves. But, you know, the neutral site of the World Series and the playoffs, that could extend the year, you know, and allow for more baseball beyond, you know, the you and I talked about having it end right before Thanksgiving. It would be kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could potentially, you know, go to the very end. I think Thanksgiving's late again this year. So, you know, that would be something to consider. Then there's the, you know, the whole idea of ramping up, right? So when do we actually start? When can they actually start? I mean, one of the reasons why the Olympics was canceled was because athletes couldn't ramp up. That athletes didn't have enough time to ramp up, right? They didn't have enough time to train. They didn't have the facility to train. So that was part of the problem.
Right.
With the Olympics, not so much about the virus, more of like we don't have a pool to swim in, and you know we don't have you know the proper track facilities and whatever else, the organized facilities and training that we need. So that's the other you know consideration is you know are they doing what they need to do to be ready? Obviously Chapman is, you know, are they going to be able to ramp up with some exhibition games? You and I talked about speculatively, do they play games no matter what league, just to kind of play close? And then there's the travel concern, right? So we've got a lot of things to work out. But I think bottom line is if we start sometime in June before, let's say, before the All-Star break, and then we start to play more games in division, which we talked about. Well, then we've got sleeper teams coming around, like the Rays and the Blue Jays pecking at us. And then you have a smaller effect size. So now, you know, you're dealing with less games outside of your division. There's just a lot of complication there. But ultimately, if we start in June, we go through November, we play one day a week, a doubleheader, and we extend the roster, knowing that there could be injuries or overuse of muscles, that could be the plan going forward.
Right. And the last time we spoke, I didn't consider or think about extending the roster because at that time, 2 weeks ago, we didn't have the information where we are currently in the state of society. So 2 weeks ago was a whole different world versus what it is today. Now, extending the roster, now if we were to do that, Suzanne and Jimmy, I think, you know, I may change my tune slightly as far as number of games of where the Yankees could finish in the AL East. I do have one question, Suzanne, before we go to Jimmy. You mentioned neutral site World Series. Now, I don't see that happening. However, let's say I am wrong and they happen to entertain how would that play? Are we talking a 7-game series still in one city? Like, how would that work? Like, I don't know how that could happen. Like, let's say they had the World Series in Miami, and Miami's an indoor stadium, and you know, in Miami is South Florida, the coldest is going to get probably in December 60 degrees, lowest at worst. But anyway, without the saying, like, are you going to still play a 7-game series all in that one city, or are they going to reduce the number of games, of World Series games? Like, is it going to be a best out of 5, best out of 3? Like, how do you think they would do that if they were to move the World Series, which I don't think they are, but if they were to, out of, let's say if the Yankees are in this, the Bronx in December, what's your thought?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you bring up very good points. You know, are there less games? I don't know if you could really reduce the number of games in the postseason. You know, I mean, obviously reducing the number of games in the season is stretching it, and there are people that are like, what? You know, but hey, this has never been like this. Like you said, you opened up the show saying, when was the last time we were ever like this? I mean, it.
The war.
You know, not my lifetime, not in your lifetime. You know, have we seen this? So this is different times. I think the rules have to be stretched in situations like this, which then brings us to your question. I mean, do we have less games in the postseason? That's something I'd like to see stay intact. I would like that to not happen. And do we travel? No, I don't know. Like, and then who shares the proceeds? I mean, I guess we saw this last, right? I mean, that's got to be the home teams, right? They have to share the proceeds, right? It's like when the Tampa Bay Rays.
Are you saying keep the games? Are you saying keep the number of games as is? Like best out of seven
in the postseason. Yeah. I'm saying keep it. Yeah, I am. I'm saying
you
extend the month.
What do you think as far? Do you think they, if it gets late, or if they project the calendar later in the year, later than it's played? I don't even remember the last time if this has happened. Would they even entertain? Because of the season and the coronavirus, would they even think about entertaining doubling up in a regular season like they double up in the postseason like they would probably do in the regular season? I mean, is it even possible to have a doubleheader postseason day to quickly close out the postseason as possible? So maybe an ALCS game one, maybe have a little bit more of a break than they do in the regular season, and then come back in the nightcap. So that way you don't have to burn days during the week, because the later it gets in December, you know it's going to get colder, especially in New York. But is that even possible?
I know. I mean, they could. I mean, they really could. I remember being young, watching Yankees, and at the time Kansas City was so strong, '70s there, and the games were on during the day, not that they doubled up,
right,
but they would get playoff games on at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember coming home from school and the game would be on, not like today where everything's in prime, as late as they can in prime time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see some of it when they start to do like these like blitzes of one game after the next, like they do with March Madness. I think they're trying to kind of go for something like that for excitement purposes. But that might be an interesting thing. Maybe they double it up, which is interesting. And again, you have the roster. And what I said about the proceeds, if you do go to a neutral field, then there's who gets the proceeds, like who gets to work. I mean, I feel bad for the Yankee Stadium workers and the stadium workers across the country right now, who are like out of work. I mean, there's nothing going on. Even in the off season, you add a Yankee Stadium, soccer going on or a concert here and there. You got nothing. And those people I've got nothing right now. And I really hope that we can get ahead of this and figure this out. But yeah, I mean, this is tough. And doubleheaders for the postseason, we're going to have to do it. If that means if we're going to keep the number of games, then we're going to have to double up in the postseason.
And to add to your point, and we'll go to Jimmy, to add to your point, we're talking about businesses like a Mokuma's Dam right there outside of Yankee Stadium, outside of Gate 6. If you look right under the train, under the 4 train, those bars, that's pretty much their bread and butter between March and, let's say, a good September on average. If you get into the playoffs, they're definitely going to make a lot of money economically.
Really?
Stands, stands, your dugouts. My dugout's my spot. That's my favorite one. Like, all those spots right there on River Ave. And
the shop?
Right now, not only they're because of baseball, you just can't go. They're not gonna. I would not think they're doing takeout and deliveries right now. Like, I just don't see that. I could be wrong, but there's other places you can go for that around the corner. There's a diner, stuff like that, Bakun's Dam, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, the small businesses, even in that immediate area, the merchandise stores, like you said, stands, like those places right there on River Ave is just, just probably is hurting. And I know they're feasting, and like any small business around the country, the world, to get back to normal operations. Jimmy, you heard Suzanne's thoughts as far as doubleheaders, possibly if this thing is pushed further down the line. What about World Series neutral site game. And anything else, Jimmy, you want to add? You want to throw a question at Suzanne and myself? What's your thoughts?
As far as the season goes, man, I would love to have 162 like everybody else, but I think the only thing we could do is go down to 81 games. unfortunately, because I think 81 is a good number because, you know, we don't want to have baseball conflicting with, you know, football, basketball, or hockey. You know, we don't want that. So what I would do is start the season in June, have 81 games, and then it will be done in October. You know, like October, November, like it always is. So I mean, that's what I would do if I was baseball right now. I mean, as far as like the doubleheader.
Okay, go ahead. What? Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
As far as the doubleheaders and all that stuff, man. Like I would do anything I have to do to get baseball going. But I mean, the doubleheaders will be risky, man. I mean, you don't want people get. I mean, I understand we want to have enough game, you know, as many games as we can, but we gotta figure too. We don't want these guys getting hurt. Like we don't know how much training they're gonna have. Like we don't know how long spring training is gonna be. You know, gonna be like, cause they're gonna have time. They're gonna need time to train. So you know, doubleheaders are a good idea from a fan standpoint, but not from a player standpoint. You know, not from a player standpoint. So I like the idea as a fan, but not as a player. So. That's my thoughts on that.
So. My antennas popped up when you said 81 games. If it gets down to that number, we'll take your number for the sake of conversation. You know, with you and Suzanne, I would be petrified if it was 81. Because that tells me 81 games, that tells me this is how I look at it. The lesser the games, the more chances we may miss the playoffs. The probability of us is missing the playoffs, in my opinion, because the marathon of a 162-game season, when you have a deadly lineup, a team that's probably that could start off hot, they could start off cold, but once they get it going, you win series. You over a course of 162 games, that's the beauty of baseball, because it's a game of statistical probability and averages, and when you cut that number of 162, you break down the statistics, the effective days of winning games, it gives other teams a fighting chance, because the Yankees could go cold for a 2-month stretch. Another team that's probably is not as good as the Yankees could, you know, probably get some flukish weeks, and they probably could capitalize off of that and may probably even make a playoff spot. I'm not saying the Yankees are going to lose, but I still, of course, give us our chance. I'm just saying, like I said, even 2 weeks ago with Suzanne, if, you know, I said the number was like 100 or whatever, but my whole point, the fewer of the games, that gives everybody a chance, which makes it even more interesting because I think more people would be engaged. Fans would be engaged. If you're a fan of the Seattle Mariners or the Angels or the White Sox or Tigers, teams that you know over 162, we know on paper they don't have a shot. But it gives those fans a fighting shot. Suzanne, Jimmy threw out the number 81 for the sake of conversation. Where do you stand? Let's say it is 81. And then, of course, going back to as far as the extended rosters, like how would we do that as far as that, your thoughts?
Yeah, 81, Jimmy, whoa, that's tough. I mean, that's half the season, right? So 81 games, to Steve's point, whoa, I mean, we can't lose any of them. Like, we literally have to win every single game, which is crazy, right? And now, double headers. Okay, so let's talk about that. I think if you ask Pete Alonso 81 games or 100 games, 130 games with double headers, which would he want? I think he says 130 games. And the reason being is the guy wants to play baseball and as fair as possible. I mean, obviously the Mets aren't the Yankees. So every game is going to count. I mean, every game is going to count for everybody. But I think players want to play the game. They're itching. Players that love the game want to play the game. So I think they would rather a doubleheader a week to increase the number of games and increase their likelihood or the end, right, the size, the effect size to get into the playoffs. I think they would go for that. 81, I'd like to get as close to 100 to 120, 130 games as we could. As far as extending the roster, how would that work? I think baseball's got to decide. They've been talking about extending rosters. People are getting hurt too much. This back and forth with the farm team and who's got options and who's running out of options. I mean, we know that Higgy is out of options this year. So, you know, that's going to be a problem. Should we run into a situation where Higgy's the main guy and we need somebody else and then we've got to drop the other guy down? It gets messy. So I'm imagining they're in the think tank, much like the NBA, much like the NHL, much like the universities are right now, trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do if this thing doesn't go away for a while? What are our contingency plans? What's A? What's B? I'm imagining there's a whiteboard with some markers in an office or offices where they're thinking about this. So I think there's going to have to be some set of concessions. Jimmy's set of concessions is around players agreeing to play 81 games, half the season, to avoid the injury. Mine is more
is that
like
a players
play
union
a doubleheader
thing?
A week.
Would the players union have to
be
involved?
Players
as far as
be involved?
They have to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then it comes to pay. Yeah. So are you going to pay them for the full season, or are you going to pay them for 81 games?
I was going to get to that point. This whole thing affects the language in their contracts, because the contracts are over 162 games. It's really interesting because of this situation. How do you going to prorate the how they get paid? Because a lot of these contracts have how you perform too, your incentives, especially baseball. They're the most these are the best contracts in all the major sports because of the money you receive, and a lot of the money you receive, the players that they would have received is driven through a lot of the revenue around the sport. Now the games are cut. I don't think a player is going to say, hey, man, this is their livelihood, like you said. And the way a lot of these players look at it is I have a 15 – if I'm a very good player, I have a 15-year – on average, 15-year window to make as much money as I possibly can. Matter of fact, even if you're a player who's trying to just break in or just try to get in, that $500,000, maybe up to $1 million contract – is totally going to be different for this particular season. So I'm like you, Susan. I think their mentality is give us as many games as possible. And then this goes up to the players' union. It's almost damn near like a pseudo CBA negotiation, because they got to all sides have to come to an agreement. And if there's no agreement, there might not. It could even get that ugly. Actually, that's just how crazy this whole society thing has become. Can you imagine how that could be as far as if they do, what if the players did say, no, we want as many games as – in this case, the owners and the players will probably have to be on the same page, because owners want to make up for lost revenue, right?
Agree. I mean, think about everything else. What about the stadiums? What about the concessions? I mean, right now
–
distributors of, Nike's making the jerseys. Well, guess what? The manufacturers of the jerseys are making gowns and masks right now out of baseball uniforms. Are you buying anything? I'm not buying anything. I mean, no one's buying anything. I mean, I know, Jimmy, you're dying to see Cole on the mound. Me too. But no one's buying number 45 right now, because you know what? Opening day came and went. I mean, what would my son and I were supposed to go to opening day last week. What were we going to wear? Yankee stuff. Would we buy Yankee stuff? Yeah. You know what I mean? We didn't buy anything. And this whole weekend, nobody bought anything. We would have been talking about the Tampa Bay Rays. We are in a situation right now where everything has halted. And I think baseball players, I mentioned Pete Alonso, only because, I mean, he's been very vocal and active in this off season as far as community service. I'm imagining, you know, many other players are as well. I mean, we've seen, players step up in all sports, to give back, and provide some sense of community money. Drew Brees gave $5 million of his own money to New Orleans to help combat, the repercussions of coronavirus. So, I would think that they want to play. They want to be paid, even if they, they get paid, for partial season. I mean, you only have a certain amount of days in your lifetime to be able to play. And you can't get that. You can't get those years back. I mean, I'm sure every player would love that opportunity to play again. So, according to this, MLB has to figure out the biggest of the concerns have to deal with advancing money to players to cover, the cover costs, assurances that non-player employees will receive paychecks at least through April. With the possibility of cost-cutting measures by May, distributing payments to minor league. We didn't even talk about minor league players who haven't gotten a paycheck.
Yeah, I thought about
since
it.
The end of September, right? Would full service time be awarded to the players even if they played a shorter season as long as it concludes with a World Series? And these are the things that they need to think about.
And
obviously, safety and healthy first, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another factor I don't think we even brought up, I haven't even watched the news or sports, but just the natural of what if it rains? It's bad weather that day, three days. Makeup games.
Yep.
That affects travel. We've seen it before, even in the 162 game season, where we're supposed to play a team on a particular day or 2 days, and because the rain was so bad, whether it was in the Bronx or it was another part of the country with an open air stadium, you had usually if it's within the division, it's much easier because you could always make up the games over a longer period of time. But what if you have a rain out and then you have to, who knows what's the state of society and what the rules are going to be at the particular time as far as travel. I mean, we have no idea. And then do you throw in that weather aspect, rain and are they going to shorten games? Like, let's say if it's a 9-inning game they already do it now, but like you may lose on opportunities of a comeback. If you're down, you may lose a rally because they kill a game because of weather, and a shortened season on top of that. Yeah, it's like it's like Suzanne and Jim. You kind of have to jump out early in the game. You're like, if you're the home team, you're at the bottom of the first. You kind of need runs immediately because you really don't know, especially if it's a day with bad weather happening. You kind of need to really press and press for production at the plate so you can get the wins. I mean, I'm speaking as a fan, but I know the players are, of course, analytically looking at ways to get on base, on base percentage, and ways to manufacture runs. But just because of these extra factors going on with life, especially when think about it like this, Susan. Imagine a situation like this. This is probably not likely, but just for the sake of convo, like if you're playing late in the year, you have bad weather, and you're like a game behind, let's say, Tampa Bay or Toronto, and you need that win. What if you get cut short because they kill the game off of a weather? Like, how fair is that?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is very complicated for many reasons.
Yeah.
And we're bad weather. Winter's going to come. Right? I mean, we had no spring. We had no winter this year. We had – for spring, we got Corona instead of the winter. You're right. Bad weather and delay of games and games going late and travel. And that's the other piece. I know we talked about it and we touched on it. The travel, the fatigue from travel, how much travel can they do? Will they change to alternate routes of travel? Will there be less trips out to the Midwest and the West Coast in the West Coast this year? You know, this is the problem.
Yeah. Have the players been tested? The Yankee players been tested for coronavirus? I don't know that. I
the
mean,
ones
maybe
that
have.
Present symptoms. From what I understand, the ones that are presenting symptoms, you know, are getting tested. I know that there were, I thought, a couple of players that wound up being tested positive, and I thought it was minor league, from what I remember. But you know what? We may not know. They may not be telling us as much as they probably should be. I saw something in the Post. I'm looking at it right now, and we're chatting. But there is, yeah, the virus has infected two Yankee minor leaguers right now, as of this article, which was, you know, Chapman all juiced up late yesterday. So that's what I know.
All right. Well, they're probably going to rename the mound, your mound visits to social media distance, like whatever they go to for this season, man. They're just
Oh god.
Keep away.
Right.
Keep
we
away.
Didn't
Jimmy,
even talk
you
about
any,
that closeness inside the dugout. I mean, you know, now you're thinking about the sweat, the closeness. What are they going to have hand sanitizer in the dugout?
Yeah, yes, absolutely, without a doubt. That's a given.
Right.
Now, I don't want to see people put Perel on the baseball like it's tar or nothing. I don't want to see none of that.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know? I mean, you use any kind of trick to get the competitive advantage, but, I mean, you might. I mean, I say that facetiously as far as, you know, kind of joking, but you know what? They might have that. I'm not even kidding when I say that. Like, yo, they might have sanitizer literally, you know, of course, definitely in the dugout. But what if this player is, like, putting sanitizer on the ball or whatever, if it helps his, you know, gives him an edge? I don't know, man. But you have – what if somebody hits the ball and you try to grip the ball, like, at shortstop or second base and you got Perel on the baseball? You might airmail that thing into the stands. Like, we might have little situations like that. You never know. You know what? Put it like this. This is March 30th, 2020. I'm going to write this down, like, we may come back to minute 50 of this episode, and if somebody airmails a ground ball into the stands and they blame it on hand sanitizer residue, you heard it first, March 30th, here on the W Podcast with Suzanne and Jimmy. For real. Jimmy, you got
my
any final thoughts, man? I'm serious. I'm so serious. Jimmy.
Yeah,
you have any final thoughts on this or anything you want to ask Susan on that?
This is fun. This is funny, man. Well, what are they gonna call it if somebody has hand sanitizer? What are they gonna call it? A corona home run? What are they gonna call it when somebody hits the ball out of there? I don't know, man. But, serious, man. I just hope everybody stays safe when we get back to baseball soon, man. Because it's boring without baseball, and of course, you know, baseball is part of summer, man. You can't have summer without baseball. It just feels weird. It's like having peanut butter without jelly. It just doesn't work. So I'm hoping they can get this thing taken care of soon, man. And go Yankees, man. I'm glad to have you guys on the show, man.
Go Yankees! Thank you very much, Jimmy, man. Thank you. Suzanne, what articles got coming down the pipe for this week? Any pieces with Bleeding Yankee Blue? And final thoughts from you.
Yeah, I mean, last week, thank you. I mean, you helped me out thinking about what I might write about. likely we'll have something about Chapman tomorrow, I'm imagining. I write the next day. I mean, I kind of like this whole idea of really the fans and speculation and what could be. I might do like an Imagineer Yankee kind of piece this week, you know, kind of if you could have it the way you want. I mean, I think Jimmy brought up some good points about the half season. We're talking about Now are we going to have an unlikely substance like Purell? I mean, you know, should I write about that? I mean, should I get people thinking about that? I don't know. I need your permission. Obviously, I would cite you as the source, but that
might be some fun pieces
for people to talk about.
By all means.
You know? I think, you know, it's just a matter of trying to keep our pulse on. And we still write about the Astros because why wouldn't we? I mean, that's just, you know, more target practice. But and more time for us to sit around analyzing all the nonsense that's going on. But I think, you know, we'll continue to really look at, you know, how our injured players are doing in recovery. You know, Stanton, you know, Paxton, you know, how is he recovering at this point? Is he throwing? What does his recovery look like? I'm obviously, you know, interested in LeMahieu. We had a piece about LeMahieu last week, about him kind of going stir crazy and wanting to play. And he was one of those guys that was out on the field before they had to all go home. Brett Gardner was around. So we might write about, like, what are people's routines like. I wrote about Cole this week, Jimmy, and he's, like, really throwing and practicing and throwing to his wife, who happens to be a power hitter and catcher. I don't know if she caught, but she's definitely a power player for UCLA softball in her time. So she's got a gun herself. So she was warming him up this week. So obviously, you know, they're looking for ways to continue to be at home, but working out and staying strong. So we'll probably do some pieces on what the Yankee players are doing to stay in shape and stay fit.
I mean, there's a lot of baseball movies out there. If you are not into the bench world like I am, you can always come to me for recommendations if you choose to find something to do. If you're speculating on Aaron Judge playing first base, it is time to start reading articles from Susie Prof. Susie Prof 1 on Instagram, Bleeding Yankee Blue. It is time to come back to us. You're way out there. You're going too far off the speculation edge. So, but for Jimmy and Susanna, we'll be back. You know what? I think we'll probably be back in 2 weeks because if there's no sports, you know, it was just we'll just be unless there's new news, you'll be waiting to hear from me. We'll say we'll come back in 2 weeks to see any more new development because MLB is just really going to, you know, rightfully so, health first, sports next, man. I mean, that's just the way the world is going to be right now for 2020, and rightfully so. And a lot of things you got to consider to get this thing correctly or best as possible. But this was a fun, entertaining dialogue, and we all miss our sports. But let's kind of we'll rally back, Susan and Jimmy, in 2 weeks, unless something happens, significant news with baseball on a timetable. We'll come back in 2 weeks, April the 13th, and continue the dialogue with delayed off-season baseball, the Dugout Podcast, Bleeding Yankee Blue, Bleed Blue Show, KGYR here with Jimmy. Fun episode. We'll put this on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. It was good to talk sports, man, after being off a week. Jimmy, thank you for the birthday shout-out. Suzanne, be on the lookout for your articles on Twitter, and then definitely resharing that content for the Yankee fans to read so they don't go off the edge. Well, who's next? Brett Gardner going to be playing catcher? I mean, come on now. It's crazy, man. All right, man. Sangre out too, ladies and gentlemen. Bleeble.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, 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 blee blue.